afternoon, Los Angeles, and all of Southern California. I'm Barley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s, on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. And mighty glad you were able to join us today as we talk about compatibility, relationships, synastry, along the lines of our How to Learn Astrology seminar. We've come to this. We've come to relationships. So we'll try and understand why people get along together. Maybe we'll try to figure out why people that don't belong together stay together. Probably because it's karma. And they just prefer fighting, I guess. But anyway, should be fun. Welcome to the show. Yeah, it's been a very interesting two-week period. I don't know if you felt the effects of some of these planetary changes, the retrogrades and the wobble, but if anyone ever doubted the misery that can accompany that, don't doubt it, because I've noticed a lot of people are edgy and flaky and freaky. You know, on top of that, the Gemini Capricorn effect is a quinx effect. It's an inconjunct, and with Venus and Jupiter both quinx Saturn right now, kind of weird stuff. Sun coming up is quinx Uranus right now, so lots of weird vibes out in the air, folks, in case you wondered what that was. It's Betelgeuse. But anyway, I do think that everything will be okay in a few days, except especially after this wobbling moon, which I can't wait to be over, and that'll be a lot of fun. We are talking about relationships today, and the focus on this topic is going to be on the elements. If you are looking to be in a relationship that's fun, that's happy, that's free-flowing, consistent, stable, romantic, enlightening, intelligent, whatever, something that fits for you, then this show's for you, because I want to teach you about the elements today. The four elements of fire, earth, air, and water. Very important area of astrology. Four families of the zodiac that is very important, that if you get into astrology and you want to learn compatibility, you must know your elements. Not only must you know your basic elements in the fire, earth, air, and water category, it's a good idea to know what your personal element score is. I am a heavy score of Leo and Sag in my chart, which is fire. I'm also a heavy score of Libra and Gemini in my chart, which is air. And I also have a heavy score of Cancer and Scorpio, which is water. So, you know, if you take the exception to the rule, the missing air in my chart is Aquarius, and the missing water in my chart is Pisces, and the missing fire in my chart is Aries. So typically the people I hang out with will have the missing links of those elements in their charts, either Aquarius, Pisces, or Aries, or combination two of the three, sometimes all three. We also find that in compatibility, we hang out with people that have similarities in their charts. So I tend to attract people with heavy Leo Sag vibration like I have, or heavy Gemini Libra vibration also like I have. These appear to be the people that stick, that are the most fun to be with, that are the most communicative. A lot of my friends are filled with Sagittarius moons, Gemini moons, also Taurus moons, because that's my seventh house. But still, if you know your elements, that's part one in understanding compatibility. Because in astrology, we have an issue that is called synastry. It's spelled S-Y-N-A-S-T-R-Y. And in a synastry comparison, what we do is we literally lay one chart on top of another chart. It's kind of romantic to take one person's chart and actually enter it in to a copy of your chart to see where the planets lay and once again lie, and see also where the aspects between the two charts also will develop. As far as the synastry comparison, this is called combining two energies to check for compatibility. Now, you know, as far as the four elements are concerned, I want you to know what they are. A lot of people think Aquarius is a water sign. It's not. It's water bearer. It's an air sign. So when you think of the air signs, know that the air signs are free-flowing. They are compatible to each other. They rule the mental processes of life on Earth in this dimension. They also rule communication and thinking, or the brain. So, you know, when we have an Aquarius, Libra, Gemini complement going on between two people, we know we're going to get communication. Obviously, if you're a woman and you have Mars in Gemini in your chart, then you're going to need a man or a lover that's going to have a Gemini quality inside of them, which means they're going to be talkative and someone that can also listen. If you can't find the Gemini vibration, you got to get the next best thing, which would be Libra or Aquarius, the two other signs that are closest to Gemini because they are also both air signs and very similar. But, you know, the good thing about knowing about air support in relationships, you know, and oftentimes you get bizarre occurrences of people that are loaded with Aquarius and Libra energy and maybe some Gemini, and they associate with people that have no air at all. And then you'll say, you know, you say, Farley, why is that? Why is it that these people that are loaded with Aquarius and Libra and Gemini energy are going with a person that has no planets in the air signs at all? Do you know why? Because that person that lacks the air needs air in his life. So it would be, you know, they would definitely think a person with heavy air planets in their chart is very interesting and also would fill a big vacancy of something they're missing. So, you know, the two extremes of compatibility usually would be hanging out with people that have support to your elements in their chart, or hanging out with people that don't have support of your elements. In fact, they have whatever you are missing or lacking in your chart. See, like, I have no Earth in my chart. Normally, if I had Virgo and Taurus in my chart, you'd say, well, Farley, we need some Capricorn energy, which is the other Earth sign. Virgo, Taurus, and Capricorn are the three Earth signs. And unlike the air signs, which are intelligent and mental and psychological, the Earth signs are more material and emotional and much more practical and logical and much more analytical and work-oriented, service-oriented people. These are people that use their hands a lot more. People with air planets use their heads, whereas the Earth signs more use their hands, sometimes their heads in tandem. So what we find is, like, I don't have any Earth at all in my chart, but we do note that my Earth houses, because I'm Libra rising, are 4th house Capricorn, also 8th house Taurus, which is intimacy and romance, and 12th house spiritual, which is my Virgo energy on the 12th. So my Earth signs for Libra rising are placed in very intimate surroundings, and that's why I'm very comfortable typically with people that have Earth in their chart. So, you know, it's interesting to note that, okay, so what kind of person would Farley get along with if we were looking at my chart? Well, you know, I have a heavy fire factor with the 4 Leo planets and 1 Sag planet. So I do need Leo, Aries, and Sag to complement that fire in someone else's chart, right, to complement that. And I do have a heavy air factor of Aquarius and also Libra and Gemini. So we might need a little some of that air for communication purposes, a little water to support my Gemini Cancer. But if somebody had an abundance of Earth in their chart, Taurus, Virgo, or Capricorn, that would do just fine because I have no Earth, and that would fill my gap. You know, and that would offer something for me that would complement my chart and offer energy that I am alien to. See, like somebody that has no fire or no air might want to attach themselves to me because I'm loaded with fire and air, and I would fill that gap for them. So we do see that we do need element compatibility in relationships, number one. In the air grouping, Aquarius, Libra, and Gemini are the three air signs that complement each other. So any combination two or three of those between two charts is nice for free flow. The Earth combination of Virgo, Capricorn, and Taurus, same way. You know, they are very similar, so you need Earth complements to get along. The fire complements of Leo, Sagittarius, and also Aries represent energy, enthusiasm, warmth, affection, creativity, and also activities as far as going out and doing things, okay? So we do like to have similarities in those groupings. And then finally, the water, the Pisces, Scorpio, and Cancer is the romance. That is the intimacy. That's the sensitivity. That's the sexual vibration. That is also the emotional connection. So definitely, you know, that I would say that is absolutely required Sometimes it's very awkward if somebody has a lot of water in their chart and they hang out with someone that has no water. That is very rare, because you're going to find people that are sensitive in two different ways, like two trains going two opposite directions. So, where in the other instances, people that are void of the earth, the air, or the fire, if someone is totally void of water, they might be better off hanging with another person that lacks the water, too, in order to find compatibility. But in other instances, we will find people seeking out either what they are missing or what goes well with their chart in tandem, in combination. Okay, let's take a look at some planetary locations with compatibility. Rising signs are very important. If you are one of those fire, earth, or air risings, right, you'd be better off to hang with somebody that has a similar element of rising in their chart. For example, I, being Libra rising, would get along best with other Libra risings or other air risings like Gemini or Aquarius rising. See, because there's a personality meld. You get your personality problems in relationships when you don't have rising sign compatibility. That's why if you're Scorpio rising and you're hanging with a Gemini rising, well, those two signs quinx each other. So that could be a personality difference where you don't see eye to eye. That's where a lot of arguments and problems and interruptions and that stuff can happen too. Rising compatibility is important. We also look at lunar compatibility. Emotional compatibility can be a problem if you don't have people with similar element moons, right? Like, I'm a Scorpio moon, so I would go well with somebody that has moon sextile my moon, like either a Capricorn moon or, say, a Virgo moon, or moon trine my moon, like a Pisces or Cancer moon. You know, if you start hanging out with people that square your moon or oppose your moon, opposition your moon is okay, but maybe a Leo or an Aquarius moon might be too intense for me. So that could be a problem. You can get the same rising sign and a couple other things in the chart that work well, but when you get moon squares, there's a lot of emotional differences. Like, it always amazes me that my parents have been married for 50 years. Dad's got the Pisces moon, Mom's got the Gemini moon. Here's two people with moon squares that have had their differences, of course, but somehow with everything else on their chart, they've been able to compromise and keep that relationship going for 50 years, but they still have moon squares. And if you're around them, you might sense the tension occasionally, even though they'll say, shh, don't say anything. But lunar compatibility is important. Sometimes if your moon is sitting on someone else's sun, that's a best friend aspect. That's why I like... even though Leo moon square my Scorpio moon, their moon still sits on my sun, so it is kind of like a love-hate type of situation. And obviously Scorpio suns and I get along because my Scorpio moon will sit on their Scorpio sun. So that's like if you're a Virgo sun with a Pisces moon, then you'd get along with Virgos and Pisces that much better because of the Virgo-Pisces connection there. You might be a Taurus sun with a Cancer moon. Well, then Cancer suns you'd get along with good, and Taurus moons you get along with. See how it works? You look for sun-moon compatibility or sun-moon trines or sun-moon sextiles between two chart for more of an emotional rapport and flow. We also find the psychological factors are important. Mercury in your chart, okay, if it's trining enough planets in your lover's or your friend's charts, you're going to get a real good emotional rapport. But if you do find that you're in the synastry comparison, that your Mercury is under affliction from someone else's chart, that could hamper the communication or create communication karma or problems or instabilities. Like, I know somebody who, a lot of people have Neptune and Scorpio square my Mercury, and frankly, I need some space for them after a while. It gets to be kind of intense, all this talking, and sometimes not much being said as far as I can see. So, and I myself am like that, because my own moon is square my Mercury, so I've come from an obnoxious past of saying a lot and nothing really coming out. I hope I've tried to change that somewhat. But still, you always got to be aware of this element compatibility. You know, fire complementing fire, Leo, Aries, and Sag, earth complementing earth, Virgo, Capricorn, and Taurus, air complementing air, Aquarius, Libra, and Gemini, and then water complementing water, Scorpio, Cancer, and Pisces. And you also have to be aware that each sign, like I talked about yesterday, each sign has two signs that square it and two signs that quinx it. Okay, so like I'm in a Leo, so that means that Pisces and Capricorn energy is going to quinx or in conjunct my Leo planets, And also, Scorpio and Taurus energy is going to square my Leo planets. So if I hung out with somebody that had a lot of Pisces, Capricorn, Scorpio and Taurus in their chart, of course some of that stuff would complement some of the energies in my chart, but it would quinks and square the dickens out of my Leo, and after a while I'd feel choked or restricted or restrained or confined or uncomfortable. See? So I have found the true value in compatibility stability has been in finding people who have planets in their chart, an abundance of planets that complement the element strength in your chart, okay? That means if you have a, you know, you might want to score your chart, you know, and find out what your element score is, okay? Like my sun is fire, my moon is water, my rising is air, my Mercury is fire, my Venus is water, and my Mars is air, my Jupiter is fire, my Saturn is fire, my Uranus is air, my Neptune is air, my Pluto is fire. See, so Farley has 5 fire and 4 air and 2 water, okay, in my chart. So I'm a heavy fire, air individual, void of earth. No earth at all, zero earth, okay? So that means that, you know, some of my best friends have been people like Roger Reinhart, who I've mentioned a lot, who also has no earth in his chart. And it's not an accident that we get along with each other because we are very similar individuals. Because we do have heavy fire, water, and air in our charts, so we get along great. And that, you know, that makes for a real free-flow relationship, friends for like 15 years. And with minimal problems, thank goodness. See, so it is very important to be aware of your elements, your element scores, and the element scores of other people you're with. And obviously, because I am, you know, you might want to score your chart in another way again, because if you're smart enough to know about the three families that are called cardinal, fixed, and mutable, okay. And in case you didn't know about this, whereas the fire complements the fire, the earth complements the earth, the air complements the air, and the water complements the water, if you can understand and find out what the cardinal, fixed, and mutable families are, you will discover that cardinals will stress each other instead of complement each other. In the cardinal family, there is stress because the four cardinal signs create a square in the chart. The four fixed signs stress each other. They create a square in the chart. And the four mutable signs stress each other, and they create a square in the chart. So, you know, in order to find the cardinal, fixed, and mutable, that's right. You take one sign out of each element to get the cardinal family. That's right. There's cardinal fire, there's cardinal earth, there's cardinal air, and there's cardinal water. The cardinal fire is Aries, all right? And the cardinal earth is Capricorn. The cardinal air is the cardinal air is Libra, and the cardinal water is Cancer. So if the thing is that Aries and Capricorn and Libra and Cancer will all square in opposition each other. And see, cardinals are similar because they all are go-getters and initiators and pioneers and people who get a lot of things done, and people that really are what we call encouraging freight trains, all right? But they're all running in similar directions sometimes because they're all running in a direction that sometimes emotionally conflicts. And all the time when we get the cardinal signs together, like if you're somebody that has a lot of Aries and Capricorn in your chart, and then you're dating someone with Libra and Cancer, well, there's going to be a lot of fighting, and there's going to be some incompatibility and disruption and eventually breakup. That's why I tell people that are born in the 50s that are loaded with cardinals, they have Uranus and Cancer, and they have Neptune, and some of them Saturn and Libra, so they have cardinal stress. So typically, they're going to be in a situation where they not only might not get along with themselves sometimes, but they wouldn't get along with other people that have any cardinal planets at all in comparison to their charts, which would be any Aries, Capricorn, Libra, or Cancer energies that would affect them. That's why I'm loaded with cardinals. I've got, not the St. Louis Cardinals, I have regular cardinals. I have Neptune in Libra, and Mars in Libra, and I have Rising in Libra. Neptune's at 10, Mars is at 15, Rising's at 20, then I have Venus at 5, Cancer, heck. I cover the cardinals 5, 10, 15, 20. So anybody with cardinal signs in their chart, Libra, Aries, Capricorn, or Cancer, may tick me off, and we might not get along. See, and if you don't know that, then you'll meet people and you'll see that you're a heavy cardinal person like Farley maybe, and you'll see that they have a heavy cardinal score, and you know that means there's going to be some fighting, there's going to be some unrest, there's going to be some emotional instability, and eventually breakup and not getting along. That's why I shudder sometimes when I meet these people that have cardinal planets that are early and square my Venus, or cardinal planets that are middle or late that will square and oppose my Libra, because they won't understand where I'm coming from. And people obviously that have Cancer Libra stress like I do, born in the 50s, well, you know, I don't hang out with too many people born in the 50s for that reason, because they set me off and get me uptight and freak me out. So those are the cardinals. See, now the fixed, here's another way to go. The fixed planets, see, when you get done with this topic, you're liable to say, well, Farley, I understand the topic, but now I know I'm not compatible with anybody. That's why I'm so lonely. Well, that's really, you know, it's funny, but when you go through life and you consider all the relationships you've been through and all the broken hearts you've affected, or your own broken hearts, and all the misery and tragedy you've had with friends and relatives, well, that's it, because you're plugging into the karma and the energy between the two charts being combined in this particular topic. And eventually, there's like a fuse that's lit, a timing fuse that tells you how long any relationship will last, or how long you can put up with any given individual, depending on what the stress is in the chart. You know, like obviously, if I get involved with a Cancer who has a Capricorn rising and Aries moon and Venus and Mars and Libra, that has a chart that's square in opposition and the heck out of my chart, well, the attraction might be fun for a while, but after a week or 2 weeks or a month or 2 months or 6 months, it might get to a point where, you know, you ask yourself, what's love? Well, love is really embracing the horror that's in another person. Even though they have problems, you embrace it, and that's love. When you get to a point where no longer you want to put up with their bull, and with what bugs you about them, well, that's when you're feeling the stress between your chart and their chart, and that's when sometimes it's time to close the chapter and go on with something else. Now, the fixed planets are a lot worse than the cardinal planets, because these are the stubborn, controlling, dominating, manipulating, aggressive ones in the zodiac. Like the fixed, once again, from each element, fire, earth, air, and water. We pull one fixed sign out of each element. The fixed fire is the stubborn, arrogant, dominant Leo, like me. And the fixed water would be the stubborn and also egocentric and sometimes closed-minded Scorpio, fixed water. And then the fixed air is the hot and very cold Aquarius. And the fixed earth would be the Taurus, right? So we find that once again that the fixed signs are so similar because they all want to run the show, and that's why they run into trouble with each other. So if you're somebody like me with, I have Leo Scorpio in my chart, and if I meet someone that has a heavy Taurus Aquarius in their chart that stressed the heck out of my Leo Scorpio, well, we're going to be too similar as far as who wants to be boss. Like in a relationship, you find these women, and once again, you want to score your charts to find out how many fixed planets you have. Like if you're a Leo, you might have three planets in Leo besides your Leo sun. You might have a Taurus moon, a Scorpio rising, and Neptune in Scorpio. Well, heck, out of the 11 planets in your chart, you've got a score as a woman of 7 fixed. Well, in a relationship, you're going to naturally want to be the boss. Even though you might not think you want to be the boss, let's face it, most Leo women will try to take control of a relationship. And, you know, that's why when you get involved with a Leo woman, you got to be ready for her to make a decision sometimes that might not set with you. You know, it's like, as far as sex goes, it's their way or the highway, right? No. But frankly, when you look at this stuff with scoring a chart, you know, you can add up how many cardinals a person has and how many fixed a person has to find out whether they are aggressive and initiating from the cardinal energy, are fixed and dominant and arrogant from the fixed energy. And finally, there's the puppy family of the zodiac, the mutables. And I say, thank God for mutables, because these are my friends. I tend to hang out with people that have heavy mutable score, because I am so cardinal fixed in my personality. I have 5 fixed and something like 4 cardinals and only 2 mutables. I need that mutable energy to balance. So the mutable force is Pisces, mutable water, and also Sagittarius, mutable fire, which is the best part of the zodiac for me, because Sag energy totally trines my chart and sextiles it, no stress at all. And then mutable earth is Virgo, which does a lot for me too. And also mutable air would be Gemini. which complements my Libra all to heck. So, you know, we find the mutable people in the zodiac, mutable people planets or whatever, with Pisces, Virgo, Gemini, or Sag. These are people that are more open-minded, easier to get along with. Of course, they can be confused and more submissive and more as far as people you can take control of or dominate, but that's because they're nice. They're nicer and they're more affable and more congenial, more cooperative, and they're more like the followers. You know, the cardinals and the fixed are leading the world and the mutables are all being cool about it. They're like, you know, the meek shall inherit the earth. They're the mutables. So if you find, you know, this energy in your chart, Pisces, Virgo, Sag, or Gemini, you know you are more open-minded and you're more subjected to being a nicer person, more cooperative, and more, able to negotiate with others, whereas the cardinals are too busy and too fast to stop and think, and the fixed are too busy thinking they know it all. Okay? So, you know, in this topic, I hope you learned about the fire, earth, air, and water, the four elements that complement each other, and the cardinal, fixed, and mutable, taking one from each element for the cardinals, one from each for the fixed, and one from each for the mutable. And frankly, too many cardinals in relationship comparisons. Like if you're a cardinal person, you're with a cardinal person, there's lots of fighting there. Too many fixed from one chart to another, there's too much competition. And too much mutables, there's too much confusion. You're so open-minded, you're too open-minded, you can't make a commitment. So you do need to have, if possible, a nice balance of cardinal, fixed, and mutable between two charts. A little bit of an advanced topic in our How to Learn Astrology series, but at least if you... I know some of you love that topic because we do have a full board of calls.